the God of Islam send your sons to die for him, but the God of Christianity sent his son to die for you. Now you tell me, which God do you want to worship?
What's it like to be tortured for your faith? Well, we're going to find out right now as I interview Masheed Al-Shafi. This guy's got an incredible story. We're about to take a ride with him to the airport. Stick around.
This is The Hot Zone. Engaging with the news in a whole new way, international war correspondent Chuck Holton brings insight into areas of crisis and lets you help those affected.
Tell me about your work with your humanitarian rights organization, first of all.
So I'm a head of a human rights organization called One Free World International. In our work, we have branches in 28 different countries, all the war zones. Basically, we go and we try to rescue the believers behind the front lines. And we try to rescue the Yazidi girls, the minority, the Christian girls that have been under ISIS, that have been raped, been tortured. Many of the cases in Afghanistan, for example, in Afghanistan, we was able to rescue a couple that converted from Islam to Christianity. In Pakistan, there was a young girl by the name Neha. She was raped at the age of 2 years old just because her father refused to convert from Islam to Christianity. Because her father refused to convert from Christianity to Islam. So his daughter was actually captured, kidnapped, and was raped at the age of 2 years old just because a punishment for her father for refusing to convert to Islam. So we rescue them. We try to get them outside of the country. That's the first part of what we do, but also we try to give humanitarian aid, medical supplies, and to aid the locals there, basically, and to help them to the best of our ability.
So tell me about how many people you've been able to get out, and you said you've had thousands that you've brought into Canada.
So basically, through the work, advocating work and the action work on the ground, we was able to bring more than 40,000 believers into Canada. Right now, as we're talking, we was able to rescue more than 600 Christian and Yazidi girls from the hand of ISIS. We was able to rescue many of the believers in Afghanistan, India, Bangladesh, Africa, China. Wherever there is persecution happening to the Christians, we will always be there to defend them.
So you speak Arabic. You grew up in a Muslim household. You understand Islam and you understand the culture over there. When you meet ISIS fighter, or when you meet a radical Muslim, what do you tell them? How do you describe to them the love of Jesus? Is there, in a culturally understanding way?
I think through action. The Bible said that we have to give them absolute love, but also absolute truth. Now, it's very hard. Last time when I was in Iraq, in Iraq and Syria, I was able to capture two of the ISIS fighters. And I insist to go to see them in prison and make sure that they have clean water and food. And everybody around me was shocked with this decision. And I looked at all the Kurdish officers around me and I told them, this is the difference between us and them. If we torture them the same way that they torture us, we become them. The love and forgiveness of Christ is above anything. This is very important because we don't fight hate by hate or revenge by revenge or evil by evil. We fight hate by love, revenge by forgiveness, and evil by the power of the living God. If there is one thing we need to understand and we have to know, the enemy is not after us. We are after the enemy in Jesus' name. And that's absolutely my belief.
So what was it that caused you to convert to Christianity? I mean, that was a very difficult decision, I imagine.
I came to the Lord when I was 18 years old. I was born from a Muslim family back home in Egypt. And I studied law to become a lawyer. And when I saw the persecution in the first year of law in Egypt, when I saw the persecution happening to the Christians in Egypt, it shocked me to the core. As me and you talking right now, and the people watching this broadcast, you cannot build churches in Egypt. You can build bar, discotheque, mosques, but you cannot build churches. There is between 6,000 to 7,000 believers in Egypt in prison, just because they are believers, not for any another reason. Why would you persecute somebody unless you are scared from the truth that they carry? This persecution make me wonder why. They don't persecute us, they persecute Christ in us. And that's when I start reading the Bible. That's when I start know more about the forgiveness of Christ. And let me tell you something, because many people come and ask me this question. What's the difference between Islam and Christianity? like what's really attract you? And there is many difference. But if I can put it in one sentence, and I ask all my Muslim friends that listening to this broadcast right now to listen to me carefully, there is one major difference, and I need you to think about it. The God of Islam send your sons to die for him, but the God of Christianity sent his son to die for you. Now you tell me, which God do you want to worship?
Amen, amen. So tell me a little more about your story and how you became, how you got to where you are now, the persecution that you faced in Egypt, and how you got out of that.
When I came to the Lord, I started an underground organization, a human rights organization, to ask from the Egyptian government to give us our rights as a Christians. We was able to build churches inside caves, inside mountains, Bible school, medical clinics. I started to write a book about the Christian history in Egypt. That's when I was arrested in August 15, 1998. I was taken from my office. I was taken to prison underground. I was tortured for 7 days. Every day was horrible than the day before. In the day number one, they shaved the hair of my head. They dipped my head in cold and hot water. That's for the whole day. Second day, I was hanged upside down. Beating me, torturing me, burning me with cigarettes, taking the nails of my feet, pulling them out. And in the third day, they released three dogs to attack me. And when I prayed, the three dogs sitting around me, none of them moved. And when the officers and the soldiers get shocked, they brought another set of three dogs. And the middle dog took a step forward and he licked my face. The people that are listening to us right now, they think the stories of the Bible is something that only happens in the past. He's the same God yesterday, today, and tomorrow. If it can happen to Daniel, it can happen to me, and it can happen to you. God is the God of miracles. He said, I am God, I do not change. And miracles still happen, but we don't see it sometime in our fast society.
So you were able to escape the death penalty, and actually your Christian brothers came and rescued you from house arrest. What happened after that? How did you get out of Egypt?
In Egypt, after I was able to escape, the Egyptian government put a reward for whoever will arrest me, so I couldn't stay there. So I had to escape. If you know the map of the Middle East very well, Egypt surrounded by Arab Muslim countries, you go to any of this country, the same thing will happen to you. So there is one country that you can escape to was Israel. What did I know about Israel at the time? I knew that the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Very simple logic. So I went to Sinai. I started to study the border between the Egyptians and the Israelis. There is two ways, through the mountain, but the mountain is very high and very hard, and through the Red Sea. But there is two problems. Number one, you're not Moses, you have no stick. Doesn't work with brown people, trust me on this one. Or non-believers. The problem that you have to cross the Red Sea is two military boats standing against each other. One is Egyptian military boat, one is Israeli military boat, and both of them protecting the border. If you try to cross from here, they will shoot you. If you try to cross from here, they will shoot you. So I was able to go and I stole jet ski. So many people that listen to us, they will say, but you are reverend, you are a man of God, how could you steal a jet ski? I stole the jet ski, sue me, like, I don't care. So anyway, so I went and I stole the jet ski. How you cross? So the only way to cross is between the two boats, because if they shoot you, they will shoot each other. And the last thing that the Egyptians or the Israelis won't start a new war in the Middle East, because a guy crossing in a jet ski. So I was able to surrender to the Israeli police through the intervention of Amnesty International and United Nations. I was able to, I was given choice of three countries, Australia, Denmark, and Canada. I prayed and the Lord said Canada. The Lord forget to tell me it's 20 below zero in the winter. So anyway.
Okay, so I heard you say today something that really struck me, and that is that the church in the United States is in a coma. What do you mean by that, and how can we fix that problem?
You have one persecuted Christian every 3 minutes worldwide. Just last year, over 165,000 Christians was killed for their faith. You have between 200 to 300 million persecuted Christians worldwide. And the church in North America, the world divided to two zones, a conflict zone and a comfort zone. We are in the comfort zone. If you are in Canada, if you are in the state, if you are in Europe, if you are in Australia, if you are in South Korea or Japan, you are in a comfort zone. We don't even know about the persecution that's happening to the Christians in Asia, in Middle East, in Africa. We don't even care. And our churches, what I mean by we're in a coma, our churches will preach about prosperity and healing, which is good things. But persecution was promised in the Bible. The Lord said, if you follow me, you will carry a cross on your shoulder. And the one thing that all the churches have to understand, persecution will hit North America through the cancer of politically correctness in our American or Canadian fabric. Persecution will hit North America, and it's already here.
Yeah. Tell me about that in Canada, because I know in Canada, if you preach certain passages from the Bible, you can be arrested or have your church shut down.
Yes, you can lose your status. That's why One Free World International is not a charity, we're a non-profit. So the government cannot shut us down, we can talk whatever we want to say. But in reality, they will use the laws against us. And we have a prime minister in Canada, he's useless. Keep this in the podcast. The Prime Minister of Canada is useless, is short-sighted, and if he ever donate his brain to science, science will return it. Science doesn't want it.
We have some very loyal Canadian listeners, and they will agree with you 100%.
Absolutely.
Say that Canadians are the nice North Americans. Have you found that to be true?
They are definitely the most polite. They are a very polite nation, they are a very kind nation, they are beautiful. I'm very proud to be a Canadian citizen. The problem that I think that the Canadians, I will not say naive is the right word. I will say that they're so kind that I believe that some of the political arenas taking advantage of how kind they are. And that's where we have a problem. And the political correctness is really destroying Canada right now.
Yeah, I would agree. So in Egypt right now, what is the situation? We've seen churches bombed and, Christians attacked there. As far as the name of the podcast is The Hot Zone, how is Egypt a hot zone today?
Today there is, but you have 10% of the Egyptians, 10-15% of the Egyptians is Christians. Some of them believers, some of them Coptics, Orthodox, some of them Catholics, some of them Protestant. Doesn't matter. Believer is a believer. I don't believe in dominations. I believe that we are all children of God. And we are all brothers and sisters in the Lord. Today in Egypt, for example, in every Christmas and every Easter, there is bombs. There is always attacks on Christians, churches. Every Christmas and every Easter, not just Egypt, around the world. We saw just recently what's happened in Burkina Faso, what happened in Sri Lanka, where the churches was bombed just during the Easter service, and nobody cared about it. In comparison to what's happened in New Zealand, when the mosque was attacked in New Zealand, the whole world turned upside down. Now, I'm very sorry for what's happened in New Zealand. I condemn what's happened in New Zealand. Nobody in his or her worship place should be attacked, doesn't matter what's your religion. But look at the difference in the reaction. Sri Lanka was bombed and everything, and nobody was like, now how many people talking about this? Burkina Faso was attacked, Egypt Church was attacked, and nobody's talking about it. Now the believers in Egypt is still being persecuted by the government, is still being persecuted by the authority, and by the Muslim Brotherhood, that the United States just recognized them as a terrorist organization just recently.
Right. And that the government is Muslim Brotherhood, correct?
No.
In Egypt?
Yeah. Now?
Yeah.
No, it's Sisi. No, the Muslim Brotherhood was taken off.
Oh, they were.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Great. Well, fantastic.
Obviously, your father doesn't read much. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, right.
Give this in the broadcast.
thank you for coming on with us, and I really appreciate your time. May God bless your...
God bless you. Thank you.
...your efforts to serve him and your ministry as well.
So it was an amazing experience to meet
Masheed Al-Shafi.
And to hear his story of torture and escape and ultimately redemption. One of the things that really struck me about what he said is just that in Islam, Allah wants us to send our sons to die for him. And in Christianity, Christ is God's son and he went and died for us. So for Islam, it's all about dying the right way. For Christianity, it's about living the right way out of gratitude for the gift that we've been given. Now, this is a news podcast, and I call it the Hot Zone because we talk about hot zones. And if anybody's been to some hot zones, it's
Masheed Al-Shafi.
But I just really was powerfully impacted by his testimony. And I wanted to share it with you because I hope you'll kind of take it a lesson from him. And when you think about torture, we call a cold shower torture. We call bad traffic torture. We call maybe our kids' music torture. But here's a guy who actually knows what torture is all about. And God has been able to use the very real torture that he went through to bring about something good, not just for him, but for thousands of other people. And I think that's the power of the gospel right there. So that's your sermon for this week. I'm Chuck Holton. Thanks for watching The Hot Zone.